So I work for Soil Survey, Soil Science Division now, which is not maybe the first thing you think of when you think of soil health. But I'd like to kind of give you an idea of how we think Soil Survey and ecological sites, which I'll explain, can help with soil health assessment and possibly prediction and forecasting. So,
oh, that didn't work right. It's supposed to layer, but...
Soil Survey can help assess soil health. So there are, I don't know how many of you have gotten a web soil survey. You can look in an area you're interested in. You can pull up something similar to a traditional soil map. You can get information about the soil map unit, the soil types, if you will, although podologists are kind of, I don't like that word, it's kind of loosey-goosey, but you can find out stuff about the area you're interested in going through web soil survey. Some of the interpretations that are on there are very related to agronomic production and the possibility of supporting all kinds of land use and management. There are some limitations that we have to think about, though. Most people, I don't know, maybe most people isn't fair, but a lot of people interact with soil survey through soil series. How many of you know at least one name of a soil series from the area you work in? How many of you have looked at the official series description for that soil? So how many of you know how much of the map unit where you're working is in that component? Yeah, that starts. So there's some differences in mapping and thinking about soil series. We're all comfortable with soil series names. We like names. They're easy to remember. They're easy to tell our cooperators, our farmers who we're working with, what it is, but it's not always the most meaningful for management. So some problems that we have as we deal with this, these soil series are based on taxonomic units, which may or may not be helpful for the management that you're trying to apply. There's also more than, I think it's like 24,000 soil series. That's a lot of names. It's hard to keep track of, and it's not consistent. Like, how are soil series differentiated across the country? It can be very different. So it makes it difficult when you're trying to apply something systematically to rely on that series and type idea. And so while we have an effort in place with Soil Survey to move ahead from our traditional inherent-based soil properties, so if you go to Web Soil Survey, you look at Sergo or our other products, that's an idea of inherent properties, the properties that we expect, but not necessarily the ones that you would see under a particular management system. And we have an effort to try to update that, but there's no way we're going to do that on 24,000 different soil types. So I'm going to take a step back for a minute and think about how we can move forward. So when I think about soils, I'm going to go back to the soil forming factors. Climate, organisms, relief, parent material. So if I think of the United States as a whole, and I want to think about what is my soil capable of producing, what might be the first really broad scale level I want to look at? Whoops. Well, I might think about biomes. I might think about really big geographic areas, mountains, plains, things like that. That will get me close. That will get me, can I grow a crop there without irrigation? Which crop can I grow? What's going to be my biggest management concern? All those things might be there, but that's not enough. It's not enough for us to move into really worrying about good best practices management. So this is an example from New Mexico, but we have this idea of major land resource areas. Then the major land resource areas are divided into even smaller units, land resource units, common resource areas, depending. I know there's two different ones. It's a little confusing, but the idea is you can subdivide regions into areas where the soils are similar enough, the resource concerns are probably similar enough, that we can start to think about what can happen on what soils in what places. So this is a cross-section, block diagrams work great for this too, that just illustrates a landscape within one of these common resource areas. So if we think about, if you go out onto your field, go out into the landscape you're working on, you can see a floodplain, you might be able to see a slope, if there's any major elevation changes, you can probably see, especially if you're in some kind of naturalized vegetation, you can see differences in vegetation. Sometimes in crop management, we just plow right through those differences, literally. But if you think about what it would have been in the past, this stuff starts to come out. But still, in this system, there are still way too many soils for me to keep track of. I can't possibly tailor my management to each one of these possible conditions. So there's this idea that's been used previously as a range site concept in the Western U.S. There's this idea of an ecological site. An ecological site is a kind of land. That's what it is. It's a kind of land that produces a certain kind of amount of vegetation, and it has a characteristic response to disturbance. So while this is typically applied and thought of in terms of vegetation dynamics, the things that determine what the site is, geologic, climatic, it's soils. It's all about the soil and the soil landscape. So what is that soil capable of? What's the potential of that soil? What kind of land is it? And so in this system, you may be able to start grouping these soils into these common ecological sites. And so I'm arguing within soil surveys, this is not a done deal yet, but I'm arguing that we can use this, we can interface with some of the ecological ecosystems community to think about the way soils function and manage it both for ecological potential and for our soil management and soil health potential. So ecological sites group soils, which me, that makes my life a lot easier. Now I can bring that 24,000 number down to things that are something more manageable, hopefully. They're described with an idea of a reference condition or some best functioning system. That's a really good, useful idea for soil health because we have a target. We want to get soils as good as they can be, but sometimes there's only so much you can do. So how can we use these and these potentials that are housed in this ecological site concept for soil health? So there's something called an ecological site description. It describes the site. This is from Web Soil Survey, pulled up a picture of an ecological site, and this is the reference condition. And I can find out all kinds of information, including pictures, which are handy, to tell me what this site could be. There's also something called the ecological site, it's ESIS, I forget, the information system. But you can look this up on the web and actually find information about the extent of the site and a block diagram, which is a soil scientist we really like, but it tells you where does this site fall in the landscape. So you start to have an idea of where that potential is, where you are in the landscape. If you're out in a field, you can say, that low area is going to produce a different kind and amount of vegetation, and it's going to respond to disturbance. Well, a state and transition model, which I'm not going to explain here, it tells you how the dynamics of the site differ, and it talks a little bit about feedbacks. Within these boxes, there are feedbacks that keep things the same, and a stressor or disturbance might move it to something different. And while this is really vegetation-based at the moment, we think that we can apply some agronomic issues to that too. So at the bottom of many of these sites, there's something called a reference sheet. And in interpreting indicators of rangeland health, they refer back to this reference sheet as what should this site in the best possible condition look like. And so I think there is a parallel to soil health for what does this site in the best possible condition look like. Maybe, what does it look like in cropland? What does it look like in something else? So I think maybe we want a similar reference sheet for soil health. So this is our first attempt at putting something together. So we're thinking that you might have a soil, particular soil function or indicator you're interested in. So think of whatever you like on the y-axis. I like soil carbon because that's what I work in. For the naturalized or native plant community, you might have a range of properties that you observe. And the top of that is your best potential. That's what that soil can make it to. And then there are different kinds of management that we can apply. And within each of those management systems, we have a range of potentials. So maybe it's grain production. And then within grain production, we might have several types of management, and we can start to reference what we think the potential is for each of these. So I have one example of this, which illustrates the point pretty well, I think. We have an ecological site in Oklahoma, the edge of Tallgrass Prairie. It's fairly clayey. If we measure water-stable aggregates in rangeland, we get a fairly high value, 75%. In cropland, we get a fairly low value, even in a well-managed no-till system. But we can look at these and compare what the potential is. Like, there's room for improvement here. However, if we look at it's an aridic alpha soil, but a fairly dry soil and sandy texture in Texas, then even in rangeland, fairly pristine conditions, then you don't have the same potential. You can't get back to that same level, so you might want to apply different management techniques. You certainly want to inform this if you're using something like SMAC. This could allow you to really tailor your scoring to the needs of the site. So in order to do this, if anyone is interested, we are working on putting a little tool together. We need to test it in more locations. I'm not going to go through it because it's too much for this talk, but the idea is you'd go to a site, you'd dig a hole. You're going to dig a hole, figure out what soil you're on, what ecological site you're in, what indicators you might want to measure, and then hopefully it would give you a reference which to judge that against. So we're still working on this. We have a prototype. We need help. We need cooperators, and then we're going to need testers because this is going to be tailored to every different region, every different location slightly differently. So with that, I'll put my summary slide up and finish and take any questions. Thanks. Yeah, I have a question already.
So thank you. This is very clear. I understand what you're doing. Can you talk about how you translate this from, for instance, a range situation where you have a system that is, although different from your cropping system, not that far removed, to a system in the southeast where your natural vegetation is a forest and you have an O horizon that you get stripped off once you get rid of your forest. So what are you going to compare it against?
So the question is what to compare it against when rangeland, which is not so far removed from the cropland, but you're in a different situation, like the southeast and in many other locations where you have an O horizon that's no longer there. That is actually a pretty tricky question. I mean, at the moment, we're trying to standardize in depth increments, but in reality, you start to have things like the presence of an O horizon is an indicator. Like, in the best situation, that's there. That O horizon provides these functions. And what's providing the functions in the intensively managed state? And so it is very difficult, and it's not a one-to-one, but I think we have to measure, step back to function, and imply a function-to-function comparison. Anyone else? Yes, sir.
Thank you for your talk. Will you also have something included regarding permaculture, asparagus, marijuana, trees?
Well,
permaculture.
Ideally, yes. Ideally, it would be, we have a crop list that's a mile long at this point, and it's very tailored to region. And if there are people in that region willing to guide and help inform the decisions, I think we could do it for anything, and we're willing to. It's just a matter of how best to record and serve that up or contain it. Thanks. Any more?
Yeah, probably the last question. I wonder if there's some way to use the LMO, that sort of framework you presented, to sort of provide multiple references.
Use the LMO to provide multiple references? Do you mean in terms?
You kind of got your forest system.
Yes, and I, you know, didn't really get into that, but that is the idea that for each set of production goals, so if you're in a, you know, you're in a plantation and you're raising pine, maybe you would have a different set of possible potential goals than if you were in cotton or peanuts or whatever. So that is the idea.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, guys.